How's everyone doing this week? Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weather Guys. We're here with week 15, semifinals of our playoffs in most leagues. How are you guys doing? We have our on-staff meteorologist, Dr. Mike Ventris, and Sean Bratton. How are you guys?
Good, man. Good. Colin, good to have you back this week.
Yeah, it's welcome good. Back, big guy.
It's good. It's good to be back. I missed you guys.
We missed you too. We're proud of you to support the Fantasy Football Weather Guys in our League of Record playoffs, as unfortunately both Sean and I were eliminated this year. But I, you know, for me personally, I'm rooting for you. Take home the trophy, buddy.
It's not looking good, man. Crowder killed me.
No.
Yeah, two TDs last week.
Last night,
when Darnold took on Lamar Jackson. But Mike, you have Lamar Jackson in a few leagues, so that was good for you, right?
Yeah. So my ESPN leagues, I'm still in it. I started Lamar. I was a little worried because of the quad injury, but the man is just amazing. I'm sad, though, because as a Lamar Jackson owner, you're going to lose him next week because they clinched everything, right? So you expect they're going to rest him. Right.
Yeah, they may not play him, especially any potential injury. I mean, he's been diamond in the rough this season, so they're not going to risk it.
So I'm in three leagues, and I've made the semifinals in both. And last night I got crushed by Crowder and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it was a tough one for you there on that.
Yeah.
So
and the Jets got crushed, by the way.
Yeah. Well, it was a big game to start off the week. The final score is 21-42. So a lot of points being scored, a lot of fantasy production there. So yeah. You're either on the plus or minus side of that.
It seems like Lamar Jackson just goes through and shreds it against any defense.
I really feel with the downfall of the Patriots lately, I almost want to just – I'm going to say it. I think the Ravens are going to be a Super Bowl participant.
I think they're the favorite now.
Yeah. I mean, Lamar Jackson's what Patrick Mahomes was last year. You know, it just is how do they do in a playoff atmosphere? You know, there's not a lot of veteran players on that team, so how do they handle that type of pressure? But they're looking good.
His longevity is a concern for me, though. I mean, you look at the rushing yard stats that you have, and you have a scramble-type quarterback in the league now. They do well in the beginning, but it was so interesting that Tom Brady's career rushing yards is less than Lamar Jackson's season. And you have to wonder what his next year or five-year potential is. I don't think a quarterback like Lamar Jackson is going to be a contender at 41 like Brady, unfortunately.
Yeah. I know, I agree with that, and there's a reason that Brady is still in the league, and that's because he rarely rushes. He protects himself, and his offensive line protects him. What?
We don't say allegations on this show, Colin. It's not
allegedly they just – right, sorry. Apologize. That is my own view.
What is your view?
That the Patriots use ulterior options to determine what defenses are like.
Oh, okay. I get what you're getting at.
On that note, I'm going to say that with Lamar Jackson, you know, you can think of him as a running back. You got over 1,000 yards this year. When do we see running backs kind of lead the league? Around 30 years old. So,
right. Five to eight years if they're lucky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe we have a good 5 to 8 years left of just gloriness out of him, and then he just kind of goes away.
So,
unless he changes his game.
So going back to why we're here. We have three potential games that we are looking at. We posted two of them, and now we're also going to include the Kansas City game as a discussion point. We're going to get into our weather forecast right now for week 15. So we are looking at the Bears-Packers game with frigid cold temperatures, and we really are unknown on the impacts. It's kind of going to be part of our discussion. There is some ups and downs that we could discuss about that. We're going to then talk about Dolphins, Giants with the wind that the Northeast is going to see this week. And we're also going to then discuss who are the Chiefs playing?
Broncos.
Then we're going to see the Broncos Chiefs talk about light snow. Right now there's no impact, but it's a system that we could be watching.
Yeah, and so we're all over the map this week. We're usually centrally located in one area, but there are a couple areas of development we're concerned with. We'll start off over the Mountain West, where we have an upper-level disturbance that moves its way over the Rockies. That's what Mike is showing right now. So this upper-level low is going to develop, and we're looking at 12Z on Sunday. This is 18Z Sunday, so this is around game time. And so we're looking at a band of snow going through the Kansas City area. Now, this doesn't look to be incredibly heavy, but we could see 1 to 3, maybe 2 to 4 inches potentially fall in this area. Right now we're not expecting a significant enough impact, but if that forecast changes, you know, we may see some fantasy impacts if the snow rates pick up.
Yeah, which I'm sure a lot of people are probably playing Kansas City Chiefs this week.
Kansas City Chiefs and Broncos, you know, you got Sutton in there. You may be playing Philip Lindsay. So yeah, there could definitely be some implications here. We're being a little conservative right now. We do not have a caution out, but we could upgrade that depending on how things trend over the next day or two. And then our next area of concern, actually, Mike, let's focus on the Green Bay game next. We'll kind of go west to east here, and you'll see that, you know, there's not a lot of wind there and there's really not a lot of precipitation. So what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about frigid temperatures. We're talking temperatures in the mid to upper teens, maybe low 20s, but what we consider frigid temperatures. So there's going to be a high pressure moving its way southeast, and it's going to kind of sit over the Midwest, and it's going to bring some very, very, very cold temperatures to the Midwest on Sunday. And so that's what Mike's kind of looping through right now.
This map is showing wind, right?
This is wind, exactly. So we see the arrows there are wind vectors, where the wind is coming from. And typically where we see more greens and yellows and reds are where we need to be more concerned. But if you look over the Green Bay location, Mike, if you want to show us that location. Yep, right there. There's not a whole lot of wind to be concerned with here, at least not significant enough, but it's going to be the cold temperatures of that shot of cold Canadian air makes its way into the Green Bay area. So
I just want to quickly mention for folks listening on the podcast, you know, we are showing visuals right now on our YouTube channel. So if you want to shoot over to our YouTube channel, it's at FF Weather Guys, and you can see what Sean is talking about visually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if there's anyone listening or watching, you're going to be in the Green Bay game and you snap a photo of those crazy guys without their shirts on, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Post it, tweet us, we'll retweet. We love those pictures.
Yeah, just to kind of expand on that. That's one thing we're doing. So that's a good shout out right there, is that we want photos. We want to see these weather impacts that people are experiencing while at the game. So please send us any photos. We've already been posting the last couple of weeks photos of the week.
Especially if you're a fantasy football weather guy. Oh, too soon?
Wait, what?
When you were at the Green Bay game. No pictures? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did go to a Green Bay game, and that's what started our discussion, actually, was, hey, why don't we actually take pictures of these games? I had an awesome opportunity, and these guys called me on it, and, you know, I'm still frustrated I didn't actually take them because it was a perfect game.
Your wife did, so we do have pictures, though. So thank you.
Yeah, we do have some, but better quality, we'll say. Right. Better quality.
And so, just really quick, it doesn't have to be pictures either. We're also willing to take videos, too.
Yeah.
So now going, Sean, talk about the Northeast as the Giants game, Meadowlands. That's a lot of red.
Yeah, and the reason that Mike switched over to our wind map here, wind vector map and mean sea level pressures, because wind is going to be the big, this is our only real caution of the week. And so we have a storm moving out of the area. It's over the Northeast. It's moving to the Northeast. But with that, we're going to have some winds whipping around this storm that could exceed gusts 30 plus miles an hour. So we're looking at 15 to 20 sustained at least, with 30 plus winds. So this is something we've been seeing the last couple of weeks, and that we've been, you know, putting on Twitter and Facebook saying like, hey, this is having an impact. These winds are having impact on player stats. And that's something we're going to talk a little bit further about today, because this is our only caution game right now. And, you know, we want to get into maybe some of the implications of that wind for that game.
Yeah. So if you're in the playoffs, like, you know,
I am still like
all of us, actually, in all of our leagues.
True.
Us in our
or in daily record. Leagues, both. Yeah. If you're doing daily this week, or
right, DFS is another thing. You know, the player that, you know, a lot of people might be considering starting on the Giants side is wide receiver Darius Slayton. He's been a monster over, you know, last game he had a great game. Over the past 4 weeks, he's been averaging nearly 10 targets a game. You know, he's playing a cushy matchup. As Miami's been giving up the third most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers over the year. And typically it's the wide receiver on the perimeter, which is where Darius Slayton goes, right? He likes to catch those deeper throws. So, you know, with the win risk here, I'm a little worried. You know, we don't have any sample size on Darius Slayton, but we do have a sample size in Eli Manning.
And I apologize, but okay, that's what I was going to say. Be nice to me. I was going to say, is Eli playing this week? And I think he is.
Yeah, it looks like Eli is trending toward playing. And Eli, I mean, he's been in the league for since 2004, so around 15 years. So we have a good enough sample size on Eli on in windy matchups. And this seems to be more on the extreme side of windy, again, with 20-plus and then gusts 30-plus. And his yards per game is down around 40 yards when there's wind. It's only around 200 yards per game when there is wind. And the big thing, Mike and I were talking about this before we started shooting, was his touchdown, the number of touchdowns he throws per game in windy conditions is very much down compared to his career average. And also his completion percentage is down a few points as well at around 56%. So what I did is I said, well, let's try to come up with a corollary here, because I agreed with Mike, like, hey, Darius Slayton is probably the guy that most people want to start. And I, you know, I looked at Sterling Shepard. He's been in the league since 2015 or 16. So he has at least some games with Eli in these windy conditions. And his yards per reception are down. They're around 9.5 when he's usually up around 11. So that may not seem as significant, but in 8 games, he only had 1 touchdown. So that's, and that's just a testament again to Eli struggling a little bit and getting the ball downfield potentially and getting it in the end zone when there is some wind.
Yeah, I think the biggest statistic to me that stood out, you know, in the windy games that Eli's played, which the sample size is quite large, 41 games. So this is not a non-significant number. His career QBR rating is 84.1. In those windy games, it drops to 76. So, I mean, I think here there's a significant risk on that on the wind here for Eli in a cushy matchup, you know, and this is going at risk translates to guys like Darius Slayton. So in DFS, you know, you might feel okay in one of your lineups trying to throw that, you know, that Darius Slayton dart out there, but in your redraft leagues where this is your, you know, this is it to get into the championship. Right. Are you putting in Slayton?
That's a tough one for me right now. I don't know how much confidence I have based on his DFS value. I mean, the Miami Dolphins, they're a porous defense, but they have been starting to get it together and play a little bit better over the second half of the season. You know, I worry about Eli in these games, and I think it's a definite, the risk factor is definitely higher with these. I mean, look at the last 2 weeks. Look at how these top or supposedly top wide receiver performers did under these extreme windy conditions. And when we see that quarterbacks are affected by the wind, wide receivers are as well. So that's not to say that, hey, Slayton's not going to have the opportunity or maybe get the targets. It's just how efficient he's going to be. Is this going to be a 7 catch, you know, 95 yards, 2 TD performance, or is it going to be 5 or 6 catches for 50 yards?
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm staying away from Giants players in this matchup. I'm staying away from Miami Dolphins, unless, you know, we hear some good news out on the Miami Dolphin front.
Yeah.
Their star wide receiver, right? Because he's in a concussion protocol right now.
He is. And right now he's been practicing at least for most of the week here. The coaches are saying he's trending toward playing. You know, we know that sometimes works out, but it's looking more likely than not he's going to play. And the other thing is, quite frankly, we're looking at Ryan Fitzpatrick and how does he perform in windy situations? And he doesn't seem to be affected at all. He seems to perform as well in the wind as he does anywhere.
Right. Well, Jets, Buffalo on his resume. He's used to playing in.
Yeah, he's used to playing in these weather conditions. Yeah. And he's a gunslinger anyway. He'll throw the ball anywhere and you know, try to make plays downfield.
Other doesn't matter for him.
It doesn't matter to him. It doesn't. And, you know, if it's a hard call, though. If, you know, if you do have Devontae Parker playing, you know, is, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick a streaming option, given that the Giants are so poor in the secondary? Because that's where people are looking to stream DFS leagues. How do we pick up, you know, a quality, you know, a quarterback, you know, low value? And Ryan Fitzpatrick may be the way people are going. And just to let you know, we don't see any corollary between Wynn and Fitzpatrick. And so, you know, I would be playing, if I was in the playoffs right now, I'd be playing Parker in this situation if he was healthy and a good
in redraft playoffs. You're saying about
in redraft? Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. And in DFS, I just wanted to mention Fitzpatrick's price, because I think it was
5,600.
It was pretty good priced. Of course, now I can't find it. So I just want to mention on him, I'm a little nervous about Fitzpatrick. I mean, I know that the statistics don't show, but like to play, oh, he's 6,200 on DFS.
Okay, that's close.
I don't have Fitzpatrick in any of my in any of my DFS leagues because I don't know about Parker. I want to hear Parker playing, but then I would maybe adjust my leagues. But since Parker right now is in the concussion protocol, it's enough for me to spook me out of the Fitzpatrick play.
What if he is playing? How do you feel about that play? Because we saw what he did against a lackluster Philly defense. They ended up winning that game. $600,
you take the shot. Or 6,200.
Yeah. Would you take that shot?
I think so.
So for me, I'm not. And there's okay. there's one reason why, and it's not anything to do against Fitzmagic. I'm worried in the sense that, you know, actually, you know what you said? The question was if he does play?
Yeah, if Devontae Parker plays,
and okay. He's good to go.
You take Fitzpatrick at 6,200.
Yes. So the reason why, okay, sorry, I lost my train of thought. I'm back to it now, guys. I'm good. The reason why I'm not is because I want to have the stud running backs this week. I want McCaffrey, I want Carson, and I want Derrick Henry as my running backs for DFS. And with Fitzpatrick's pricing at 6,200, I can't afford him. So I'm dropping it down to guys in the 5,000s. So I'm taking risks like with Kyler Murray. And even, you know, if I do want to spend up on a quarterback, I'm actually going with Tannehill. So that's the reason why I haven't gone with Fitzpatrick. I need to fit in those other guys. That's
more of a DFS play, though. If you had Tannehill and Fitzpatrick in your redraft league, who would you play?
You're not in the playoffs if you have that situation.
Well, hypothetically, right? People may be trying to stream. People may be in the playoffs that are streaming quarterbacks.
Next week if they have Lamar Jackson, though. So,
right. This is them next week. Try to figure this out. Yeah. Oh, man. So I probably play Fitzmagic. Yeah, I probably would. I mean, I think they're playing Houston. But he has been so good. It's tough. You know, I feel like I'm just surprised Tannehill is playing this well. You know, maybe it's a better system. Maybe, you know, the
I don't think he played bad in his first couple years at Miami.
Yeah, it was just
a bad team with bad coaching. I mean, all around, they didn't get all they could out of their players. Now he's in a situation. He's in a, you know, fundamentally sound offensive system that they set up to make him thrive in.
And
he's got some good wide receivers.
Yeah, he's
around that's emerging.
But I mean, the thing is, it's a run first team. I would go with Fitzmagic just based off the volume because they're not going to hand Patrick Laird 30 rushes. They're not going to do it. They're gonna have the game relying on Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I would agree.
Go with the volume.
I would agree with you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move off of this game and let's talk about some of the. Unless you have anything else you want to finish up on this game.
Nope. I think we're good there. I think the main players you're looking at are Fitzpatrick, Devontae Parker, and then Darius Slayton, and we covered them. So
okay.
You're obviously playing. I mean, if you're in the playoffs and you have Saquon, play him. You're obviously playing him. But that's, you know, the only other fantasy relevant players I'm looking at.
All right, let's go off to our. So I want to finish up with Kansas City, but I want to go to next to the Bears at Packers, and this is one of the third lowest over under game at 40.5 points. And the big issue here is temperature, right? A lot of forecasts out with temperatures in the teens during game time, so frigid conditions. I want to ask you guys a question here, and I want to. This is my weather trivia question. There's been a lot of games where Chicago has played Green Bay in history and it's been cold. This has been touted as a frigid game at 17 degrees Fahrenheit. What do you think the coldest game in the history of the Bears versus Packers is?
With wind chill or standard temp?
Standard temperature. Actual temperatures at kickoff.
-4 degrees.
Okay.
5 degrees.
It's kind of in between. I think Sean's a little closer. It's 2 degrees Fahrenheit. So it was close. You guys kind of went right in consensus, would have had it. So yeah, 2 degrees Fahrenheit. These team, there's been other games, five other games, the five coldest games here where these two teams have matched off. The temperatures were 11, two games at 10, one game at 3, and one game at 2 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay. So yeah. Average total points scored in those games, right? You think cold weather, you think it's going to stop your production in for the overall total offense. What do you think the average total points scored in those games were, guys?
36.
The over under for this game is what? 40, 41.
40 and a half.
I would say around between 40 and 42.
Yeah, so it's actually 47 and a half.
Wow.
Right? So, you know, you think these cold, the five coldest games ever with the total points of 47 and a half, it kind of goes against the standard way of thinking like, oh, cold weather is really going to significantly impact things. So there is a range, though. There's a distribution, right? So the lowest total points scored in those five games was 31. The highest was 68. And the most recent, which falls in there, the most recent game was 2016 in December. It was 57 total points.
And what was the weather temperature at the 57 points?
11 degrees.
So that's pretty close to 17.
Yeah, but the thing is, me and Sean talked about this, right?
I'm glad I was part of that conversation. See, they like to have conversations without me. They weather out a lot more than I can be part of these conversations.
Well, you're more important.
Learn to weather out, and you can be part of that combo.
Let me go back to college and get the degrees. Sure.
Well, you're a more important guy than us. You work later than us. So, you know, we can look at some of this stuff. So,
I don't think importance has anything to do with my job.
Okay. Well, no, I disagree. Anyway, let's get back to it. The most freaking game was 57 point over under. Oh, the 57 total points, 11 degrees was the temperature. The Chicago defense wasn't as good as it is now. So there is a reason to bring it down.
Right, but we also have – okay, so we also have, though, the Thursday night game that was week one, 7-10.
Yeah, I mean, and that was – so, I mean, things have a little bit shifted since then, but that was a 3-10 game. Chicago,
3-10. I thought 7-10. Sorry, guys.
It was 3-10. It was a Chicago loss. That's when, I mean, Trubisky's come to life over the last three games. He scored 19-14 against the Giants. I then think he scored 24-20 against Detroit. That was a Thanksgiving Day game. And then last week, it was 31-24 against Dallas. So we're seeing a trend upwards in the offensive performance. So I see where Mike's coming from there and being a little bit hesitant with this low over under, you know, as far as what about Aaron Rodgers? So the reason that if you look on our website, we have an unknown factor there is because we just don't have a large sample size for our players. The only kind of comparable player that we could throw in there is Aaron Rodgers, who has five games in frigid conditions. Now, with that being said, the stats are not great. And this is what we see for a lot of quarterbacks who have played in these games. His QBR is down around 10 points. In five games, he has six TDs and three interceptions. Mm. So you're talking about around
what is his career average, you know? Game.
This is his entire season or entire career.
Yeah, okay. I meant the career average of TD to interception ratio there.
Well, over his career, he's had five games and he's thrown six TDs in those games. His completion percentage is down a few points. And the other thing is sometimes you count on Aaron Rodgers for a rushing baseline, and that comes down significantly. During frigid games, it seems like he'd rather throw the ball away or just, you know, get the ball downfield. He doesn't rush the ball. The attempts are lower and the yards per carry are lower in those games. So
with Trubisky playing better, with Rodgers a little questionable.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a relatively close game, kind of like the first matchup, but it's a little bit of a struggle. If I were to go out on this, I would say, you know, Chicago, it also seems that Green Bay lately has been going to what is the defense's weakness. We saw that when they played Carolina in inclement weather, they went with the run because they knew Carolina was bad with the run. With the Giants, they went with the pass because they know that was their hugest weakness. Chicago's relatively good in both departments. Mm. They're a little bit worse in the pass. Chicago's passes defense is ranked number 13, giving up around 230 yards, and that's gone up as of late. So, you know, maybe they look to throw the ball a little bit and get that point total up. My guess is around 240 to 260 yards for Aaron Rodgers with two TDs. That would be my guess on his performance. But there's a lot to consider here.
I'm wondering, you know, Vegas is not dumb. They understand there's weather going on. And I wonder with that low over-under of 40 and a half, which is the third lowest of the game, I wonder if they're looking at the weather and making that assumption.
I also think you kind of have to put in the legacy of these two teams when they play each other.
Yeah.
I mean, there is the...
Yeah, it's a divisional matchup.
And it's also Packers-Bears.
Yeah, and you know what?
I mean,
Bears are fighting for a playoff spot right now. So usually with these really strong divisional matchups where it's a high-stakes game, we usually see these go on the side of lower point totals in that with the frigid conditions.
Right.
With the Bears defense.
You got to assume it's a factor. The weather's, you're right. You know, Caesar Sportsbook's got to assume.
Yeah. And we do, I mean, again, that the sample size is not, you know, the number of data points we have is not super significant, but it's enough to say like, hey, it looks like, you know, he doesn't perform. It definitely doesn't look like he performs above average in these conditions. It's maybe average to below.
Like, so if Caesar Sportsbook is listening and they don't, but they want information, we are more than happy to sit down and draw up a business relationship with them.
So with Trubisky being the quarterback number six over the past 4 weeks, and honestly, I'm not buying into Green Bay's defense as a solid unit. They've gotten lucky with their matchup. I'm going to make the bold call here, guys, and say I think Chicago wins this game.
But wow. Do you take
Chicago
the under?
Chicago wins? You just said Chicago has the bad defense.
No. Chicago has the good defense. I said.
Oh, I thought you said Chicago has the questionable defense. You said Green Bay has the questionable.
Green Bay has the questionable defense. If okay. I misstated that, I apologize for that. I think I'm taking the over on this, and I'm saying the Bears are going to win.
Okay, bold call. And that's why we have the unknown. There seems to be a lot of factors. It's the defenses. It's the frigid conditions. It's the divisional matchup. It's how they played before game one of the season. There's been a lot that's changed, but there's a lot of question marks here. But I think, you know, quite honestly, if I were to go with my gut, I would say the under. But I just think giving the culmination of it being you know, how these teams have played themselves lately, which has been lower scoring games, frigid conditions, which Aaron Rodgers has not proven to be a real great commodity in. Trubisky not used to playing in these conditions. It's, you know, a really strong divisional matchup for a playoff spot. I think it's going to be low, but that's
me. I'm really excited to see how this game turns out for us and for the fantasy football weather guys, like to actually get some data to try to correlate after this to see like what was the impact of the frigid, yeah. You know, to help us next season as we build this platform and we build our name and our statistical database we're working on. So I'm excited from a data junkie point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one thing that we want to do because it's not just one variable when you go to a game, right? We're looking at weather, but we also need to consider, hey, who are they playing? They're playing the Chicago Bears, a better defensive team. How have they fared against each other in the past? So there's a lot of data points that kind of intersect here. That this is part of our statistical model that we're trying to bring to life here. And just to kind of show you the complexity of, you know, the questions we're trying to answer.
So last game, are we done here? Are we going?
Yeah, I think we can move on.
Yep.
So it's a non-impact, but Kansas City Broncos, light snow, maybe more snow though, as the front moves through, or I probably said that wrong. Sorry guys.
No, you're good. It's, there's a band of snow setting up and in these banding type of environments, it's difficult to make these predictions out this far. I mean, we're filming Friday night and I still don't feel confident on where I know that band's going to set up. You know, because these things are very small scale features. They're called mesoscale features and they're usually driven with some kind of convection, which is another fancy word for like, you can think of like rising air, kind of like thunderstorm-ish type of thing.
But with that, Mike, just to mention the convection, when we talk about that with snowstorm, there's usually isolated pockets within these bands of snow that have really heavy precipitation rates that can increase storm totals dramatically if you're within one of these, as Mike mentioned, these mesoscale banded regions. So that's why you may say, well, it's 2 days out. Why don't you guys know like what's going on? It's like even a day out or 12 hours out, meteorologists have a really tough time knowing where these things set up.
I hate giving snowfall forecasts just because of this very thing alone. Whenever someone's like, hey, what are you thinking for snow? I'm like, I have no idea. It's like
zero to 3 feet.
I'll give you the range. Like, here's the range. Like, you do something with that because it's tough to give that type of quantitative number when you have these small scale features impacting the forecast. You know, you think about it with rain, right? It rains an inch at your house. And you're going to say it rained a lot. It rains a half an inch at your house. I'm like, it rained a lot. Well, that makes a difference in snow totals, right? You do a standard 10 to 1, it's either a half an inch or 5 inches to like, you know, 12 inches or six inches to 12 inches. It's like a huge difference. So,
that's what we may see. That's what we mean. I'm trending toward believing that. I think snow will definitely be a factor here, whether it's going to be a fantasy factor, I think is our question. So let's just say we get some light snow and it starts to pick up throughout the game. Mike, like, what do you think? Because you have Tyreek Hill, you have some shares of some Chiefs players.
Yeah, and a lot of Chiefs. I got Mahomes and I got Kelsey going in the playoffs.
Yeah. How do you feel about the possible?
You play them.
Play them. You've got to. You're not going to not play them because of light snow. I mean, I'd rather be burned by the snow than not playing Mahomes and Kelsey because what are the better options do I have?
Yeah. Don't,
I'd rather
don't
play Kelce in
don't
a foot
tweet at us that you sat Kelce because of this conversation.
Yeah, no. And also think about last week. Kelce actually got some running work. He had a rushing touchdown last week. So we're seeing the Chiefs get a little bit more clever with their issues on running back. Now, I think Damian Williams is on the verge of returning. I know he's questionable. I think he had some practices. But, you know, with some of the Chiefs rushing issues, and if Damian Williams gets, you know, if he doesn't play, I think that I feel a little bit better with Kelce, at least in that regards of he's potentially going to rush a touchdown or get some rushing work, excuse me. So, but I'm not benching any of my Chiefs. And I'm also playing Cortland Sutton, which is a tough matchup at Arrowhead, but I don't have any better options. I lost Mike Evans to injury, and I lost the wideout for the Eagles that I'm drawing a blank on right now.
Alshon Jeffrey?
Yeah, Jeffrey. I lost both of those guys, and I need to play a wideout too, so I'm going with Cortland Sutton in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, there's time. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sean. Go.
No, I was just going to follow with Mike said, and like, yeah, I mean, I would agree with the sentiment you guys are providing here, and that you can't sit these players. There is some correlation between a reduction in quarterback play in the snow. Usually this favors the running back, but I don't know right now. I don't know about you guys. I don't feel confident saying like, hey, be worried about Patrick Mahomes here. Going in, he's a top caliber quarterback. He's the one that got you probably to the playoffs, or one of the players that got you to the playoffs. So you got to play your studs.
He is a top priced quarterback on DFS, FYI, which is interesting.
Okay. And the defense for the Broncos has been tough. So
this is a good plug to follow us on Twitter at FF Weather Guys. Follow us on Facebook. We'll definitely be active over the weekend, especially watching this mesoscale snowstorm unfold or snow band. Yeah, not snowstorm. Wow, sorry, almost caused a national crisis. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, I think that wraps up our week. Possibly, do we want to keep?
I think that's good. I think we're done with the weather discussion here.
Yeah.
And a couple things to keep in mind. We're providing constant updates on Sunday related to any weather game that maybe have fantasy impacts. We're doing up-to-date analysis to seeing what kind of weather is going to influence which players. So keep in touch with us there. Colin mentioned the photo contest. We love getting these photos from you guys that are actually at these games and experiencing this weather. So make sure to send those in and just keep
not a contest. We don't offer prizes. We just offer great pictures.
Yes, true.
So good luck, guys, in your semifinals if you're in the playoffs. Good luck, everyone out there who are in the semifinals or quarterfinals if you have a 17-week league daily. You know, look at the deals. Look at the steals. Play.
Nice.
We'll copyright that.
Okay. But,
yeah, luck, well, hopefully everyone gets a little bit of an early Christmas gift here, making it to the championship. But we'll be following up with you guys next week and letting you know of anything on the radar, literally and figuratively, for us next week on that championship round.
And we have something special next week for our viewers out there next week. Stay tuned.